Grudgingly, I sold him one, ruefully concluding that, as always, work was interfering at a crucial moment. By now, of course, the window from which the can had been sent flying was closed. I rolled farther down the street, staring at the closed shutters for a sign of some sort. Wild laughter issued from more than one building as I passed. Apparently, the deluded occupants therein were indulging in some obscene diversion which amused them. I tried to close my virgin ears to their horrid cackling. A group of tourists wandered along the streets, their cameras poised, their glittering eyeglasses shining like sparklers. Noticing me, they paused, and in sharp Midwestern accents which assailed my delicate eardrums like the sounds of a wheat thresher, however unimaginably horrible that must sound, begged me to pose for a photograph. Pleased by their gracious attentions, I acquiesced. For minutes they snapped away as I obliged them with several artful poses. Standing before the wagon as if it were a pirate's vessel, I brandished my cutlass menacingly for one especially memorable pose, my other hand holding the prow of the tin hot dog. As a climax, I attempted to climb atop the wagon, but the solidity of my physique proved too taxing for that flimsy vehicle. It began to roll from beneath me, but the gentlemen in the group were kind enough to grab it and assist me down. At last, this affable group bade me farewell. As they wandered down the street, madly photographing everything in sight, I heard one kindly lady say,
"Wasn't that sad? We should have given him something."
Unfortunately, none of the others, doubtless right-wing conservatives all, responded to her plea for charity very favorably, thinking, no doubt, that a few cents cast my way would be a vote of confidence for the welfare state.
"He would only go out and spend it on more liquor,"
one of the other women, a shriveled crone whose face bespoke WCTU affiliation, advised her friends with nasal wisdom and an abundance of harsh R's. Apparently, the others sided with the WCTU drab, for the group continued down the street. I must admit that I would not have turned down an offering of some sort. A working boy can use every penny that he can get his ambitious and striving hands on. In addition, those photographs could earn those corn belt clods a fortune in some photographic contest. For the moment, I considered running behind these tourists, but just then an improbable satire on a tourist, a wan little figure in Bermuda shorts panting under the weight of a monstrous apparatus with lenses that certainly must have been a cinemascope camera, called out a greeting to me. Upon closer inspection, I noted that it was, of all people, Patrolman Mancuso. I, of course, ignored the Machiavelli's faint mongoloid grin by pretending to tighten my earring. Apparently, he has been released from his imprisonment in the restroom.
"How you doing?" he persisted illiterately.
"Where is my book?" I demanded terrifyingly.
"I'm still reading it. It's very good," he answered in terror.
"Profit by its lesson," I cautioned. "When you have completed it, I shall ask you to submit to me a written critique and analysis of its message to humanity."